Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the podcast and the website on Facebook, or you can follow the show here on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past podcasts, such as yesterday's show where iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McCumber came on and we discussed the NFL hopes of 10 Spartans trying to make it to the league. Today, Ryan's going to be with me again as we break down the NFL hopes of the 7 other Michigan State Spartans looking to make it to the big time this offseason. Ryan, how you doing?
Better. You didn't call me starter today, so that's a step in the right direction.
One slip up. One slip up. That's all it was. I was hoping we could move past this. But screw it. Let's move past it right now. Let's talk a little bit about R.J. Williamson's draft stock. We can get to him and Arjun Calhoun, and then after that we'll talk about the 5 guys who are certain to get drafted tonight, all but certain to get drafted tonight. Let's start with R.J. Williamson.
Well, R.J. was playing like an All-American, I thought, before he got hurt and missed probably 8 or 9 games, and he came back for the Alabama game. I don't think he gets picked just because he was hurt, and you know, he wasn't really a starter until his senior year at the beginning. So there isn't much film to look at with him, I guess, compared to other guys. I think he's somebody that can latch on to a 53-man roster if he is healthy.
He started his junior year, didn't he?
No, I don't think. Him and Nicholson. Nicholson split time with him. He didn't start.
Oh, Nicholson was coming on, yeah, and he split time, yeah. But RJ was technically the starter.
Yeah, he started part of the year, you're right. But, I think that he's somebody that can make a 53-man roster, but, I don't know. I don't think he has enough film on him from the past couple of years to warrant him being drafted, I guess.
Look, he played great as a sophomore. He played very well as a junior, too. A lot of the scouts, from what I'm seeing, there's questions about his coverage skills. Obviously, the guy can go up and play near the line. He might kind of be like a I want to go back to Eric Smith. Eric Smith, he was a safety at Michigan State. Moved to linebacker when he played for the Jets. So that's probably who I most recognize him with. But the thing is you're right. He was playing like an All-American this season until he got hurt. Obviously, the Alabama game, that doesn't really do much for anybody's game film except for Conklin, who we'll talk about in a second, but he got hurt. And from what I've seen, he was a 6th or 7th round selection, and then he got hurt for the week of the East-West Shrine game. And that really hindered it, because that's when a lot of scouts take a look at these guys who are like, okay, maybe he had a couple steps of misfortune or whatever it is. And so I think he can be a I don't think he'll be picked because of those injuries this season. But otherwise, if he didn't get hurt, I think you're looking at a 4th or 5th rounder, and I don't think there's any questions about it. But you're right. I think he can latch onto a roster by the time the season rolls around. Let's focus on his buddy in the defensive backfield, Arjun Calhoun.
Calhoun is somebody that took a lot of heat from MSU fans. I criticized him a lot earlier in the year, but I thought he turned out to be the best cover corner on the team. Later in the year, he was pretty impressive, I thought. I don't know. I don't think he gets picked, but according to our guy Chris Zorbis, who covers the CFL, he'd be at least a top 10 CFL pick. And Calhoun is originally from Canada, so that might make sense, but. You know, I think that he would probably make a practice squad. I don't know. I don't think he makes a 53-man, but, I think that he'd his coverage skills later in the year definitely improved, but I don't know if it warranted him making a 53-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, he was a special teams player his entire career up until this past season, and even then he was only going to be a nickelback. Copeland goes down with the injury. Colquhoun steps in. Struggled a little bit at first. Made a couple mistakes in the Oregon game especially. But he turned it around. I don't think he was just the best corner that Michigan State had. I think he was the best defensive back. I think it was just one of those things. He needed reps. He needed to get a little more comfortable actually playing corner, because even though that is his position, he didn't play at a State until his last season. He was a defensive back. He was a special teams player the entire way. So if he goes seventh round. And I think it would be a good pickup for whatever team. I think he can make a 53-man roster. I think it's a coin flip right now for him, though, more than it is anybody else who we've talked about who's kind of those fringe players, whether or not they make it. Moving on to the five guys who are for sure going to be drafted. Let's start with Aaron Burbridge.
Burbridge came into Michigan State as a high-level recruit. He had a pretty good true freshman year. Dropped off sophomore and junior years, but had a monster senior year. He's more of a possession guy, but he made some really big plays last year. He's a pretty athletic guy. I think that he's probably a third-round pick, maybe fourth. I think he's going to stick around in the league for a while. He could have a long career as long as he learns to play special teams early on, which is probably what he's going to have to do. I think that he can stick on a roster for a long time.
Yeah, he's a better version of Benny Fowler. I don't know if I would say better in regards, because I think Fowler was a little bit more of a deep threat coming out of college. Burbridge, a little slower, but he's just so strong with his hands. Like, when the ball gets whipped in there, how many times did Cook throw it up? And he threw it between coverage. You look at the Iowa game, Penn State, where he had that double spin move. He was strong with the ball. He doesn't really gain separation, though, and so that's why he's a possession receiver. But he's creative in... He doesn't gain separation, but he gets open. He's creative using his body and his hands to get himself open. And, I mean, you're right. If he can play special teams early on, especially like Fowler did when he came into the league, I think he's going to fare pretty well at the next level. But don't expect him to do much more than that. I think he's about a fourth-round pick, maybe late third. Maybe early fifth, but if someone gets him in the early fifth round, I think it's a steal. Let's just put it like that. Let's focus on Jack Allen.
Jack Allen is, he's one of the most versatile offensive linemen that D'Antonio's had. I think he played every single position on the line last year. Did he play left tackle at all?
He played at left tackle a little, but he was hurt when he was playing it.
Right. I think that was against Michigan. I can't remember if that's the exact game, but no, he didn't play against U of M. Never mind. But yeah,
no,
Rutgers. Pretty sure it was a Rutgers game.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
He's one of the most versatile offensive lineman under D'Antonio. He might be the most versatile. He played every single position on the line. I think that he's a third rounder. I think he sticks in the league for a long time due to his versatility. He's obviously not going to play left tackle in the league, but if you need to put him at the right tackle spot, you can, but I think he's more of a guard, obviously. That's a natural position, but yeah, I think he sticks around in the league, has a pretty long career, and assuming he can stay healthy. And, I really like him as an NFL player. Just his versatility is going to make him stick around.
His name's Allen, so you know he's as tough as they possibly come. I think he sticks around. Obviously, he's going to get drafted. A lot of the things that I've seen him fourth round from a lot of the stuff that I've seen, but we know that those mock drafts aren't exactly a science, if you will. So I think that his versatility is going to get him drafted in the third round, kind of like what you said. I feel if there's a team that they feel like they need a little more depth at center and guard, I mean, Allen's obviously the way to go, and I think that can bump him up an entire round. Like you said, he is versatile, and that's going to help him hang around. I don't think he'll play right tackle in the league. I think that was a little bit. I think that's a little bit of a reach, but doubt he can play the anywhere on the interior line. Let's move our attention to Shalique Calhoun.
Calhoun is one of the best defensive linemen in Michigan State history, arguably. He was an All-American. He had some All-American honors last year. I believe he had some as a junior. He really came onto the scene as a sophomore. I'm honestly surprised to see some of these mocks of him, second, maybe third round. A lot of mocks before this last football season started had him as a first-round pick, and I thought he had a monster season. I think that he could be one of the steals of this draft if you get him in the second or third round. He's a great edge rusher, obviously, though he might have to play linebacker in a 3-4 where he would wind up, having to learn how to cover people, which he didn't do at MSU. But I think that he's a steal in the draft if you get him in the second or third round, for sure.
I'm right there with you. A lot of people are panning Joey Bosa as the top 5 pick. Calhoun's numbers almost equal that. All of his numbers that they've accumulated over 3 years, obviously Bosa came in and started as a freshman. Calhoun redshirted, and then he pretty much sat out his freshman year while the Spartans had Golston in the lineup. So all of his numbers mirror Bosa's. All of his combine numbers mirror Bosa's. I'm not exactly sure what the difference is between the two. I think Bosa might be a little bit more secure of a tackler wrapping up against the run. But in that regard, at the same time, I think Shalique Calhoun's a better edge rusher. So I really do not see much of a difference. I'm not saying Calhoun should be a top 5 pick like Bosa is. I think he should be more of a – I think he could be a late first rounder. I thought he could have been. I don't know why he's not going to be. I know it's not going to happen, but that's the situation. It's looking like he's going late second or early third, but either way, he's going to contribute to a team and he's going to do it right away. Let's focus on Jack Conklin, the guarantee to be the Spartans' first offensive lineman taken in the first round. Tony Mandrich in 1989.
Jack Conklin's story is incredible. I'm sure almost everybody's heard it who's a Spartan fan. Guy, unranked, comes to Michigan State, gray shirts, becomes a freshman All-American, an absolute monster. It's just amazing this guy had zero scholarship offers coming out of high school. I think that he is quite possibly the safest pick in this draft. He had some minor injury problems this past year. He missed the Michigan game. No, he played the Michigan game. I believe he missed a couple of games, though, before that. This guy is just a monster. He shut down Joey Bosa twice. At Spartan Stadium last year, they had to move him off of Conklin just to get a pass rush on Cook. The guy is an absolute monster. The guy's, in my opinion, an obvious top 10 pick. Going to have a long NFL career, assuming he stays healthy. Whoever gets him tonight is going to be very lucky and happy with the production they get out of him.
Yeah, he's invited to the draft. He's taken D'Antonio there. You said it. The story itself is incredible, but the fact now that you're looking at a potential top 10 pick, I have seen everywhere from 7 to 26 as far as where he's going to go. This kid, I mean, they're saying I've seen stuff where he could be an all-pro guard, at least a serviceable left tackle. So there's a – I mean, he, like everybody else who goes through Michigan State, he can play anywhere on the line. I think it's – I mean, it's got to help him out a little bit. Like I said, I've seen anywhere from 7 to 26. A lot of the mock drafts, though, most of them have him going to Tennessee. Playing opposite Taylor Lewan, how ironic is that? Playing on the right tackle, helping build up a line for Marcus Mariota. And if he flies, absolutely no way. There is no way Detroit lets him go, which would be unfortunate for him, but at the same time, congratulations on buying the Conklin jersey. So, let's turn our attention to probably, man, I don't know, what the most bipolar figure of the draft at this point, at least in the Big Ten.
I mean, I don't get, I mean, obviously you're talking about Connor Cook. I don't get why in the world this guy is getting slandered so much anonymously. The guy won in college almost as much as you would want a quarterback to win.
Second most win coming out of this year's class other than Kevin Hogan at Stanford.
Right. And Cook, I mean, people are going to complain about his accuracy, but if you watched his games, I've watched every single game he has played in the last 3 years, and this guy made some, especially this past year, made some incredible NFL-type throws, and he throws downfield.
Let me interject something really quick. People talking about his accuracy, they're looking at his percentage, 57%, 56%. I think his career average like 57.5, his average last season like 56.1. I believe those are the numbers off the top of my head. But what did I say about Aaron Burbridge? Same time I went for McGarrett Kings and RJ Shelton as well. They could get open, but they never got separation.
Yep.
Those numbers are going to be a little bit lower when there's a defender on the back.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Michigan State was taking advantage of what Connor Cook could do, and you know, most of his throws are farther, 10 yards or farther downfield. You got to take advantage of that type of quarterback when you have him, because you don't know if you're ever going to have anything like that again. Listen, the thing that frustrates me most about this, speaking from a fan's perspective, is that the guy has not been accused of a crime, has not been, you know, I mean, yeah, sure, the guy might party a little bit, big deal, as long as the guy is, you know, winning, and once he gets on the field, it's obvious the guy is focused, he wants to win. It's just amazing how much criticism he takes. And you got Jameis Winston. Yes, I'm not comparing Connor Cook to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is a much better NFL prospect. However, Jameis Winston was accused of rape, had multiple issues at Florida State, and yet I swear it feels like Connor Cook is being slandered more than Jameis Winston was coming out of college. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And the big thing was, the thing that started it all was the fact he wasn't elected captain. Nobody said a thing until he wasn't elected captain. Here's the deal. Jack Allen and Shalit Calhoun were going to be the obvious selections this year. Third one, the third captain is a vote based upon who the players want. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Connor Cook's got a bad attitude. Why did he not get voted? I'm not going to say he's a bad person. I've met him a couple times. I've had a few different conversations with him during his career at Michigan State. Some while he was just out with his wide receivers or whatever, having dinner. And it's not that he's, from what I've seen and from other things that I've heard, it's not that he's a bad person. It's just he doesn't have a flamboyant personality like who'd the players pick the year before last? Oh, Travis Jackson. Travis
right.
Jackson had a personality, and that's why he couldn't be a captain. And that's how that third pick came along. Allen and Calhoun, there's not two better captains in the Big Ten than those two.
Right. And another thing I wanted to bring up was I went to a signing on Saturday, people were talking about, have been talking about how his teammates didn't like him. If that were true, why in the world did Mike Sadler show up? Why was A.J. Troop at a signing? Why was Benny Fowler there? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. His teammates have constantly stuck up for him, and yet you hear these rumblings of anonymous scouts or NFL executives saying, oh, his teammates don't get along with him. That doesn't make any sense from everything that I've seen.
Yeah. And it's what he said during the Gruden QB camp thing. If you don't believe that I'm not a leader, go talk to any of my coaches. Go talk to any of my teammates. They'll vouch for me. And, I mean, I've seen it where a couple of his teammates, yeah, they're not the most fond of him, but it's not because he's a bad person. It's because he doesn't have the most flamboyant personality. He just likes to go about his business. But at the same time, they also said, he's an incredible football player and student of the game. So, I don't get the criticism either. And I'm not going to go with the Jameis Winston thing, but what about the Johnny Manziel thing? Johnny Manziel had legal issues coming out. Johnny Manziel was also not the prototypical quarterback as far as his size. And he also turned the ball over a lot more than Cook and wasn't as accurate on the deep ball. And the second his first option was covered, he took off and ran with it. Those are things you don't want a quarterback to do. Connor Cook, prototypical size, a little more accurate with the deep ball. I think he needs more work on shorter passes. John Elway. And he can read through his progression. I think he's the safest quarterback prospect. We talk about Jack Conklin being the safest overall. I think he's the safest quarterback prospect. Part of that is because where he's projected to get drafted, for instance, Jared Goff or whatever, you're number one. There's nothing safe about being number one. You better show up.
And, Tyler, I just saw something on my Twitter feed I wanted to bring up. PFF, Pro Football Focus, had something retweeted into my feed. As the top 10 draft-eligible quarterbacks in deep accuracy percentage, Connor Cook, number one. Number two is Vernon Adams. Number three is Trayvon Boykin. Number four, Brandon Doty. And number five, Paxton Lynch. I mean, the guy, I just don't get the – I mean, I get some of the accuracy concerns, but his deep ball is, I think, better than any quarterback, but maybe besides Cardale Jones in this draft. I don't even think it's that close.
Yeah. And that's what I said. Man, he can throw the deep ball. Cook can. Like I said, Cook, short range, needs to wise up. Some of those interceptions that he threw were just terrible. Obviously, the Baylor one, Jeremy Langford got held on that screen. He just threw it and hoped that Langford was there. But, I mean, he's got a great pocket presence. He can throw on the run. Sometimes gets a little too jittery with it, but I think he can turn out to be probably the best quarterback in this year's draft. When it's all said and done, when their careers are over 10 years down the road, we're looking at this just like, okay, yeah, Cook was the best. I don't know how he got looked over. I'm not saying he's the number one overall.
No,
I don't want people like putting words in my mouth. He's not a number one overall. But I think that over time he can like kind of groom himself. A lot of people saying, hey, he's going to Dallas, he's going to Arizona, he's going to Denver. All those situations, perfect situations. Back up Tony Romo. Then you get to play with Dez Bryant. You back up Carson Palmer. Get to play with their weapons up front. He gets to be more of a game manager in that situation. Same with Denver. You get Emmanuel Sanders. You get Benny Fowler. You get Demaryius Thomas. You have a solid run game. You have a decent offensive line. You have the best defense in the NFL. I think he would be great in Denver as well. If they take him with the last pick, plus he gets at least until a butt fumble back up Mark Sanchez.
Right. I mean, those are the three best situations for him, in my opinion. I do not want him to go to Cleveland.
Maybe you could throw a fourth in there and save the Jets, because there's a lot of talk about the Jets wanting to take Paxton Lynch. It might just be a smokescreen. So Cleveland doesn't trade back a little bit to where they still think they can get Connor Cook and throw off the Jets, who may want him.
I mean, I'd like to see him in Denver because, like you said, he's got Benny Fowler there. He was his primary target in the Rose Bowl season. And then you got that defense. I mean, the guy should be a first-round pick, in my opinion. I get some of the concerns about his on-field play, but some of the stuff that's off-the-field stuff, it just seems to be absolute garbage. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to Connor Cook. It's not fair to Connor Cook that he has to deal with that. And, you know, he might party a little bit off the field. Okay, sure. As long as you show up on some days, do your job.
But there's been no issues of that at Michigan State. He never got suspended.
All right. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter as long as he's doing his job. And he did that at Michigan State. He had no problems discipline-wise, legal or with the or inside the program that we know of. It doesn't make any sense to me. And some of the stupidest stuff that I've heard with this draft. I mean, yesterday some guy was talking about Eli Apple couldn't cook. Some of this stuff gets just absolutely overblown. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. So like we said, Cleveland might drop back to him. New York, I think, if anything, he goes in the first round. It's going to be late to Arizona, Denver. Otherwise, I'm thinking Dallas early second, maybe Cleveland with the first round with the first pick in the second round.
Right, I agree. I mean, I think that he's a late first rounder, and I don't think he'd go past Denver. Honestly, I mean, it could happen, but if he's there and Paxton Lynch is gone, I think Denver would pick Connor Cook.
And I am right there with you. That's all the time that we have for today. Ryan, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing this with us. This was part two of our Michigan State draft preview. Best of luck throughout the weekend to all the students hoping to extend their football careers. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.